Hey everybody, this is Bob Z, the pastor of Joy Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope it's a word that will encourage you today. Let's remember in these challenging times we're living that God is still in control and that his love for us endures forever. Amen. God bless. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his son. Where would we be without Jesus? And now let the weak say I'm strong, and let the poor say I'm rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. That seems like an appropriate song to sing this week, with Thanksgiving Day being Thursday. So the title of this morning's message is the title of that song, simply Give Thanks. I'm going to be in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, and 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. So, Lord, speak to us. We need to hear from you. We live in a busy, fast-paced life. We got all kinds of stuff going on, but we need to hear from you this morning. So let us just quiet our spirit and our soul down and speak, for your servants are listening. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. This is a wonderful week, and it's a busy week, right? But let's not let the busyness steal the joy of how wonderful this week is. Some of us are out of school for a whole week. Rejoice and give thanks. Some of us get a four-day weekend. Rejoice and give thanks. Some of us have to work Friday so we get paid for Thursday. But rejoice anyway. You have a job, so give thanks. Some of us are going to be traveling to spend Thanksgiving with family and friends. Rejoice. Give thanks. Some of us, like us at our house, will be getting out some extra chairs and making more room around the tables because family and friends are coming to spend Thanksgiving Day with us. Rejoice and give thanks. Let me give us a little history lesson on the proclamation that made Thanksgiving Day a national holiday. I think I shared this a few years ago. But our very first president, George Washington, made this Thanksgiving proclamation over 230 years ago on October the 3rd, 1789. So this is how it starts out. By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God to obey his will. When's the last time you heard a president saying something like that? To obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed. Next slide. Observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. That's the kind of government we need, right? Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these United States to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks. Boy, that's what we need to hear coming out of the White House these days. The author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, and that we may all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks. There's more to it, but that gives you an idea of the powerful words that were used to establish our national holiday of Thanksgiving. It's sad to me that except for a few commercials from Food City and maybe Publix, the advertisers and corporate America jump from Halloween to Christmas, skip right over Thanksgiving, because there's more money to be made, right? More money to be made on Halloween and Christmas. In fact, our nation, just our nation, spent over $500 million on Halloween costumes for their pets. That's not even for the kids, or for their pets. Over $500 million. That's crazy. Lord, help us. Anyway, this is Thanksgiving week. And for some of us, it's going to be a joyful day. And for others, it may be anything but a joyful day. And for that, I am truly sorry. Holidays and days like this, family dynamics, sometimes it's just a struggle. But I hope and I pray that whatever you or your family may be dealing with, that we can all be thankful people. And not just this Thursday, but every day, every season of life. Thanksgiving needs to be so much more than just a Thursday holiday in November. It needs to be a lifestyle. Thankfulness needs to be a steady, consistent character trait of all believers. Thankfulness needs to be a way of life. And it should be evident in our attitudes, and it should be evident in our actions and in our words. How many of us have taught our children or are in the process of teaching our children just to say basic things like please and thank you? What I hear a lot in the circles I travel in is listen and obey. Be nice and kind and say please and thank you. It's good advice, right? Whenever somebody would give our girls some kind of treat when they were little, we would ask them, what do you say? And I think once Tanya said, can I have more? I said, no. You say thank you. Say thank you. Or how do you ask, right? Hey, Daddy, can I have this? How do you ask? Please? Yeah. And thank you. You drop something in a store and someone picks it up and hands it to you. What do you say? Thanks. Hey, thanks. Someone holds a door for us or lets you get in front of them. You got three items and they've got a buggy full. And they say, hey, go ahead of me. Go ahead of me. Not everybody does that, unfortunately. But some will say, go ahead of me. You say, hey, thanks. Server refills your coffee cup. Thank you. I mean, we should always be respectful and have good manners and be thankful people in this age of entitlement that we're living in. And we should be teaching our grandchildren and our children to be respectful, to have good manners, and to be thankful. But I wonder if sometimes we, in our efforts to raise children with good manners, if sometimes we overlook the true thankfulness in those two words, thank you. I mean, are we bringing our kids and our grandkids into a place where true thankfulness is more than just being polite when somebody does something nice for you? Is thankfulness just a visible, recognizable part of who they are? Is it an obvious part of them as an individual? And is true thanksgiving, and is that a visible, recognizable character trait of who we are? Is it obvious in each one of us as individual adults, not just for our kids, but for us? We're setting an example. When people see us in action out there in the real world where things get messy, do they think, man, that guy, that girl, that's a thankful person? Is that how people would describe us? Man, I hope so. I remember a Peanuts cartoon that showed Charlie Brown bringing out Snoopy's dinner on Thanksgiving Day. Now, when we had dogs, we'd throw some turkey scraps and stir in a little gravy and give them a little treat, but Snoopy's dinner was just his usual dog food in a bowl, nothing extra. And he looked at his dog food. He said, this isn't fair. The rest of the world's eating turkey and all the trimmings, and all I get is dog food. Because I'm a dog, all I get is dog food. And Snoopy stood there and just stared at it for a moment. Then he looked at the house and said, well, I guess it could be worse. I could be a turkey instead of a dog. But there wasn't much joy in Snoopy's thankfulness. And that, because his thankfulness was based on a comparison. His thankfulness was based on the fact that he was better off than the turkey. And right there, as it often is in a Snoopy Charlie Brown comic strip, there's a lesson for us to be learned. Charles Schulz was very good about teaching lessons in a little comic strip. That when we're feeling life isn't fair, when we're feeling that we're being neglected or we're being overlooked or not appreciated, and when we start becoming full of complaints and negative thoughts, let's remember there There's so many others worse off than us, right? We don't have to look far. Find somebody that has it harder than we do. I mean, just 2 weeks ago, we prayed for the persecuted church. I mean, those people are being beaten and imprisoned and ripped away from their families and being tortured and raped and even put to death because they love Jesus. And we've got it so easy here in East Tennessee. So you don't have to look very far to find somebody worse off than you. You heard about the guy who complained he didn't have any shoes until he met a man that didn't have any feet. You know, this comparison thing. And maybe I've shared this before. There's four construction workers getting ready to have lunch, and they all sit down, and the first guy opens his lunch pail, and he's got this big ham and cheese sandwich, and he says, "Man, ham and cheese again. All I get is a ham and cheese sandwich every day. Sometimes I wish I could have a turkey and Swiss or a roast beef, but just ham and cheese every day." And the second guy opens up his lunchbox, and he has a cheese sandwich, and he says, "You get ham every day?" And he said, "All I get is cheese. Two slices of cheese, two slices of bread. That's it." The third guy has two slices of bread. Nothing on the bread. He goes, "You get cheese with your bread every day?" And the fourth guy has one slice of bread. He says, "You get two slices of bread every day?" So see, it's just a comparison thing. I mean, the bottom line is we should stop complaining what we don't have because someone else has more. And when it comes to our thankfulness, the basis should never be, "Man, I'm thankful I'm not married to that SOB. I'm glad I don't have to go home to that every night. I'm thankful that I don't live there. I'm thankful that my kids don't have to go to school there." I mean, these are real things, and I get it because I've used those same comparisons to express how thankful I am. But true thankfulness is so much more than comparing our situation to someone else's situation. Okay? True thankfulness, it's more than just comparing how our situation is compared to someone's situation is. We're always going to find someone in better shape and always going to find somebody in worse shape. True thankfulness is more than just having enough food to eat or having a nice warm home to live in or having good health or having enough money to pay our bills. Those are all good things that we need to be thankful for. And I am, and I know you are too, but all that can be taken away from us in an instant, can't it? Man, we could lose it overnight. And then what are we thankful for? If we're thankful for all those things and it's all gone the next day, and I hope it never happens to us, but it could happen. What are we thankful for then? True thankfulness is a state of being. It's a way of life, and we usually fail to live in a constant state of thankfulness because we take so much for granted. At least I know I do. Anyone think about whether your heart was going to keep beating this morning? I didn't give it a second thought. Anybody think about if your lungs were going to function today? That through this amazing process called breathing, we inhale oxygen that feeds our bloodstream, and then we exhale poisonous carbon dioxide? Anybody think about that? I didn't. I don't even think about breathing. And you don't think about breathing until you can't breathe or it's hard to breathe. We get so accustomed to our blessings from God that they fail to excite us. We just expect them. We take them for granted and we don't express thankfulness like we should. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "If the stars came out only one night a year, everybody'd stay up all night just to watch," right? I know Scott would. I know I would. That's amazing, you know, on a cold night and it's clear air and you just go look out up at the sky if you're around where you can see the sky. But say it only happened one night a year, I'd have that date circled on my calendar. Hey, the stars are going to be out tonight. We don't want to miss that, right? Just take it for granted because it's an everyday thing. If you can only feel the soft touch of a child's face once a year or smell chocolate chip cookies baking in the oven just once a year or smell Steve smoking a brisket just once a year, would we take these common everyday blessings in our life for granted? I mean, God showers us with his blessings day after day after day after day after day, but do we ever just hit that pause button of our busy life to simply say, "I'm not going to ask you for anything. I just want to thank you. You've been so good to me. I'm not asking for anything today, Lord. I just want to say thank you. I mean, we get spoiled pretty easily. But hopefully today we're reminded of this, and maybe we leave a little more thankful than we were when we walked in. So, Lord, we ask you now, as we open up your word, that you would make it come alive today in a new, fresh way, that an old story would be fresh and new, or some new revelation, some other insight, or something, Lord. You know what we need. So come and speak to us now. We're listening in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke's gospel, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And you know where he was going. He was going to the cross, teaching and healing along the way. He wasn't just concerned about what he was facing. He was so concerned about everybody else. He encounters a group of people in great need in chapter 17. Let's look at that in verse 11 through 14. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, their leprosy disappeared. 10 lepers stood at a distance, right? If you had leprosy, you couldn't live in town with the rest of the people. You had to leave your family. You had to leave people. You had to live outside the city. And if anybody approached you or got close to you, you'd have to say, "Unclean, unclean." Boy, think of the rejection issues those people must have dealt with, right? And they see Jesus, and they yell to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And he looks at him. He doesn't touch him. He just says, "Go show yourselves to the priest." That was the law, the Levitical law. For somebody to be declared healthy again, they had to go have the priest exam, like a medical examiner or a doctor or something, check them all out and say, "Yeah, okay, you're clean. You can re-enter society." He said, "No, you go back to the outskirts. Go show yourself to the priest." And they might be thinking, "Well, I'm not healed. Well, that would be silly. That'd be a waste of time. Why go already to the priest when I still got leprosy? Look at us." Because they knew maybe this guy in Luke 5 earlier, Jesus healed one leper. The man said, "If you're willing, Jesus, you can make me clean." And Jesus touches the guy. That was taboo. You know, you wouldn't touch a leper because you would get what he's got. Well, when Jesus touches you, you get what he has, right? And he heals the guy. And maybe these guys heard about that. And they say, "He can help us, but he hasn't touched us." And it says, and as they went, their leprosy disappeared. And they might have been grumbling, "Oh, well, this is stupid. Why? We still got leprosy." And guys, "Oh, my gosh, look at your arm. Look at your arm. Wow, wow." You know, and all of a sudden, they realize this leprosy has disappeared. And as they went, their leprosy disappeared. See, it was an act of obedience. It was believing in something that didn't make sense. Like, why go until we're healed? He touched the other guy. He didn't touch us. But he's saying, go show yourself to the priest. And it was an act of obedience. Say, okay, don't make sense to me, but I'm going to do it because you told us to. And boom, miracle. And in verse 15 and 16, it says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God, I'm healed." Be like, "Touchdown, Tennessee." Not so much last night, but still, you know, we can shout at ball games, we can shout at concerts, but can't we shout for Jesus? I mean, I've done both. I've shouted at ball games, I've shouted at concerts. I shout at ball games on the TV. I don't even have to be there. What has Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady ever done for us? Taylor Swift or Beyonce or Drake ever bleed any blood for us? No, of course not, but Jesus sure did. And this man, he's completely healed of this dreaded disease that defined him, right? You don't even know the guy's name, just that he was one of those 10 lepers. How would you like that to define you, that to be your identity? Oh, that guy, oh, he's a leper. Does he have a name? Doesn't he have a name? And he comes back, shouting praises to God for his blessing, for his healing, and he falls face down on the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. And that's that posture of complete surrender, and it's a position of adoration for Jesus, you know, just total awe and wonder and thankfulness for what he'd done. And then Luke adds this tidbit of information. This man was a Samaritan. So what? This man was a Samaritan. Well, the Jews hated the Samaritans. They considered them half-breeds. The Jews proudly saw themselves as the only pure descendants of Abraham. See, racism was still alive and well back then. The Jews were racist when it came to the Samaritans. The Samaritans were a mixed race produced when the Jews from the northern kingdom intermarried with the other people, Assyrians, I believe, after Israel's exile. Some of them stayed back, and they intermarried, and they became the Samaritans. So the Jews despised the Samaritans, but the only guy who came back to thank Jesus for his healing was that Samaritan. Yeah. And Jesus asks him a question in verse 17. He asks, "Didn't I heal 10 men?" He says, "Wait a minute, Mr. Former Leper, weren't there 10 of you guys? Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Huh? Where's your other 9 friends?" Now keep this in mind. Whenever Jesus asks a question, it's not because he's lacking information. Okay? He knows. When he asks a question, he's usually painting us into a corner or asking us something that's going to reveal what's going on in our hearts. "Didn't I heal 10 of you guys? Where's the other 9? Well, he knew where they were. But only this Samaritan came back to thank Jesus. So he asked him another question. Well, he asked a question because he was with his disciples, but probably pointing out to them, "Does only this foreigner return to give glory to God?" And then Jesus says to the man who's still on his face, as Jesus' feet thanking him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." Now, some other translations read, "Your faith has healed you," or "Your faith has made you whole." One translation reads, "Your faith has saved you." This former leper, it's teaching us that having a spirit of thankfulness, it's like it adds to the healing, it completes the healing. Because healing does mean to be made whole. And while all 10 lepers received physical healing, only one, the one who was thankful, he received wholeness, not just physical healing. And I read that the Greek word used here to describe "your faith has made you well" comes from that word sozo, meaning heal, cure, make whole. And in one of the translations, it means save, as in "your faith has saved you." So 10 lepers get healed physically, but the one who came back to thank Jesus, praising God, he got healed physically and spiritually. He was made whole in body, mind, and spirit. So who are we more like? The 9 who got healed and went about their business? Or the one who came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God, I'm healed"? Now, in all fairness to the other 9, they may have just been following Jesus' orders. Go to the priest, right? They got examined. He said, "Yeah, you're good to go." Imagine how excited they were. They could go back to their families, their wife and kids. They could re-enter society, and thinking, "Oh my gosh." So they may have forgotten all about Jesus because of all this other excitement. But he asked the Samaritan, "Where's the other 9? Right? Are you the only one? You the only one that came back to give glory to God?" Now, we don't know about the other 9. But our focus this morning isn't on the 9 who didn't come back to thank Jesus. Our focus is on the one who did. Are we more like him? Or are we more like the other 9? And can we still be thankful when things don't turn out the way we hope? See, this guy got more than he bargained for. They just said, "Have mercy on us, Jesus." And bam, this dreaded disease with no cure, they're completely healed. That's a miracle. But what about when we don't get our miracle? The miracle we've been praying for, the miracle we've been waiting on and believing for. Now, I'm not saying we need to thank God for the pain, I thank him for the suffering and thank him for the heartache we experience in life. Some of it is because of poor choices we make, right? I mean, some of us get way in deep over our heads in debt. It's because we weren't wise with our money. Some of it is consequences just because we live in a fallen, sinful world. We can be innocent, doing our own thing, and something happens that affects us tragically. But can we be thankful for God's presence in our lives? Can we be thankful in the midst of our struggles? Can we give thanks to God for the strength that comes from that, the faith, the growth that we experience through hard times? Because our struggles don't always turn out the way we hope they do. And the pain is real, isn't it? The pain is real. But we can still find healing. We can still find wholeness by maintaining a spirit of thankfulness. Because our idea of healing and God's idea of healing aren't always the same, are they? But he's God, and we're not. And I learned that the hard way. And I learned his ways, and his thoughts are so much higher and greater than mine. And we just need to learn to be thankful even when things don't turn out the way we hoped for and prayed for. And boy, it's not easy. I know that. But it's God's will for our lives. You know, a lot of people want to know, I wish I knew God's will for my life. There's hundreds, maybe thousands of books written. Discover God's will for your life. Here's the 10 ways to find out God's will for your life. I can save you the time and the money. You don't have to buy the book. The answer's right here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Yeah, like that's easy to do, right? Rejoice always. It's a whole lot easier said than done. But we're told to rejoice always and pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean we stop functioning so we can pray. If you're on assembly line, you don't say, hey, I'm going to go over here and pray for a few minutes. I feel the Lord call me to pray. Cover for me. He says, no, you could be in a prayerful state while you're functioning, while you're working. You can be prayerful at work, at school. You can be prayerful doing a load of laundry. You can be prayerful waiting in line at the bank. You can be prayerful wherever you are while you're waiting for the light to turn green. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. He's not saying give thanks for the circumstance. Notice that. But he's saying we are to give thanks in all circumstances. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We can put our name there. Instead of you, put your name there. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for Dan, for Rob, for Bob, for Chris. You might say, I don't always feel like giving thanks in all circumstances. Well, guess what? Neither do I. But that doesn't matter. It's not about if we feel like it or not. God's word is telling us this is his will for us. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That includes every one of us here this morning. Let's not be like the 9 lepers. Let's be like the 1. Let's be thankful people. And you might say, well, I'm pretty thankful. I thank God every day. So do I. Let's be more thankful. Let that spirit of thankfulness rise up in us so that when people do see us, see our actions, our attitudes, that they see, they hear our words, they'll think, that's a thankful person. That's a thankful person. You know what? I realize that when I'm more thankful, I complain less. Try it sometime. Be more thankful. You'll complain less. Maybe you heard of Matthew Henry. He's an old Bible scholar and minister who lived back in the 1600s, and he was attacked one night by some thieves. Roughed him up a little, robbed him, took his wallet, and took off. He went back to his apartment. He settled down, he got his journal out, and he wrote in his journal, "Let me be thankful." I thought, wow, you just got mugged, man. He said, "First, I was never robbed before. This is the first time. Second, they took my wallet, but they didn't take my life." Yeah, it's a good point. "Third, although they took everything I had, I didn't really have that much on me." Good point. "And fourth, listen to this. Let me be thankful that it was I who got robbed and not I who did the robbing. There's always a reason to be thankful, isn't there? Yeah. Rejoice always, Paul writes. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen. Let's be thankful people. Amen. Let's pray. Please stand if you're able. Again, have a blessed, have a happy Thanksgiving. Be safe out there. Come back next week. Bring somebody with you. Lord, we're thankful that we can look into your word and we see stories that happened so many years ago, but they apply to today. Let us learn from this story. Let us learn to be like that one leper, not like the nine, but like the one who remembered to come back to you and just to thank you. And look at the benefit he received that the other nine did not. All right? So we're grateful and we're thankful. And even though Thanksgiving is on the calendar as one day a year, let every day be a day of Thanksgiving for us. You've brought us here safely. None of us had a walk. We've got clothes to wear. We've got food to eat. We've got shelter. We've got so much. Let us not just take our blessings for granted and expect more. And let us, I pray that we would have a hunger and a thirst for more of you and less of this world. I know we're being bombarded with Christmas commercials and all this stuff in the stores. And a lot of it's tempting stuff. But Lord, we need more of you. Our nation needs more of you. And I ask in the name of Jesus, in the name and the power and the authority of Jesus, our Redeemer, our Savior, our soon returning King, that you would put it in our hearts that we would make coming together to worship you together, to sing together, to pray together, to pray for each other together, to hear the word together, to bring us together under one roof. I pray that would be a priority in our lives. We usually find time to do the things we really want to do. Not always, but most of the time. And I just pray this would be one of those things, that this would be a priority in our lives. We have busy, busy lives. Everybody's busy. You're not impressed with how busy we are. What you want is faithfulness. So give us that spirit of faithfulness and give us that hunger and that desire. I love seeing you people. I love seeing you. And I pray that we all love seeing each other. Bless our week coming. Give us strength for the living of each day. And may our Thanksgiving day, as much busyness as going to be in it, let it be a day of joy, a day of celebration, and a day of being thankful in Christ's name. Amen and amen.